We've been studying the book of 1 Corinthians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we're up to chapter number 13. And last week we went over verses 1, 2, and 3. So tonight we're going to probably get to verses 4 through 7, Lord willing, chapter 13, verse 1. Let's just read the whole chapter again. You follow along with me there. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And so remember that these verses, these chapters 12, 13, and 14 are all dealing with spiritual gifts. 12, 13, and 14, Paul makes it quite clear that in these chapters that the modern-day tongues movement, which we know is at the very bottom of the list, to say the least. If you look back at verse number 28 of chapter 12, if you'll remember this verse, it says, "And God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues." Paul even put it at the very bottom of the list of spiritual gifts. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a time whenever tongues was used, but if you go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, you'll notice that they heard every man in his own language, 17 known languages. It listed those languages there, 17 different languages that was listed. And then you'll notice that there was always Jews and apostles and a lost person in the three different instances in the book of Acts whenever it was used. And so this is a correction, if you might, if you'd studied out a correction of that. And then we got to looking at chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3 last week, and we noticed that there was you just became like sounding brass if you didn't have love. You could have understanding of mysteries and knowledge, and you could move mountains from here to there. And if you didn't have charity or godly love, that love like God had toward us, we love Him because He first loved us there. So we noticed that love is very, very, very important. And now we saw that it had preeminence over many, many things last week. And so this week, we're going to kind of look at the characteristics of love. If you would, there in verse number 4, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now flip back to chapter 8 and verse number 1. Hold your place there. Flip back to chapter 8 and verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 8 and verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says there about love in this chapter. Chapter 8, verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. That's the characteristics of love. Now, I'm listening. If you allow yourself to look at every bit of knowledge that you have gained, and you focus on that knowledge and not keeping in perspective that every bit of wisdom that we have comes from God Almighty above, it can lift you up pretty high. It can say, oh, look how much knowledge I have. Look at the doctorate degrees that I have earned. Listen, sharpen your mind. There is no premium for ignorance whatsoever. There is power in knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, and it will just drive you to the point that says, look, I've accomplished this, and I've accomplished that, and I've gained this, and will overlook people in love. Without love, and we've got to have that love in there. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And you'll notice what the reasons for spiritual gifts are. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is, chapter 12, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So all these spiritual gifts are given so that they can be used for edification, for building up, and for lifting up. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? Edification and exhortation and comfort. So the characteristics of love is to edify, and the spiritual gifts which we have are to edify, to build up. That word edification, to build up. And that's what we have to do with each other in the Word of God. We have to build each other up. Because I'm going to tell you, it's real, real easy to keep people down. It's real easy to be angry about being a Bible believer. I am amazed that some of the most angriest people are those that allow knowledge to drive them instead of love. And I'm telling you, listen, the Bible's sharp. It's true. It doesn't need any correction. It doesn't need any movement about by man. God has breathed upon, the Holy Spirit of God breathed upon men of old and inspired the Word of God and preserved it that we can learn from it and use it. It doesn't need any correction. How in the world can imperfect man correct that which is perfect? I can. I'm going to just be honest with you. I just look at it face value and say, hey, the Bible says it. God said it. That settles it. And you know, I don't have to believe it. It's still settled. A lot of folks say, well, if I believe it, then it's settled. Oh, no. God doesn't include us in the equation on a perfect word. It's His word. And we use it to edify, to build up, and to lift up one another. And if you'll notice there in verse 4, you'll notice 14 different things about love. Now the first thing we notice there in verse number 4 is charity suffereth long. What does that mean? It's patient. Love is patient. Hey, you've got to be patient with people and allow them a time to grow and allow them time to get right. And you've got to be patient one with another. I mean, listen, to be honest, all of us have desires and wants. All of us have things that we would like. And if we work together patiently, we're long-suffering with one another, then it can happen. Then we notice that it is what? Kind. Well, we're missing kindness in this world, ain't we? You know, the Bible says, be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes we can just be so hateful and so mean and so spiteful. And, towards somebody, we call it making fun. We just make fun of them. Well, listen, if they're not laughing with you in a good manner, because some people laugh while they're hurt to cover up the hurt. Won't you ask yourself, how would you feel? How would you feel if this or that was said? We need some kindness. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not generosity. You know, dear friends, we are the most generous nation in the world. The most generous nation in the world. Israel was a very generous nation under God's law, and they lived by it. They had portions of their field, corners of their field. If strangers was to come in, widows to come in, poor was to come in, they could glean over there, and it was all theirs. But you know what they got to doing? Looking around at what everybody else had. What did everybody else have? A king. They had the greatest king of all. And with that envy, guess what they chose? Saul. Why did they choose Saul? Because of his countenance. Because of his outward appearance. I'm going to tell you, Saul wasn't a generous man. And they were warned. They were warned. The king, he's going to take your daughters. He's going to take your sons. He's going to rule, take your land. What happens when we begin to look and desire for things around us? We become greedy and not generous. Well, it's more blessed to give, dear friend, than to receive. I'll be honest with you. I mean, more blessed to give than to receive by a long shot. I mean, if you got it to give, don't take any humbling to give out. But if you need help, it's humbling. It's very, very, very humbling. So suffereth long, it's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. What's that mean? It's not puffed up. It's humble. It's humble. We have to remain humble. You know where we get all our strength to do everything that we do? It's not because we go to the gym four times a week. It's not because we were born in Florida and raised in, or born in the United States, raised in Florida, or lived in Michigan and moved to Florida. It's not none of that. We have what we have because of God Almighty. And I'm telling you, God's the same yesterday and today and forever. And He is wanting and desires to bless folks and to care for them and to supply for their need. He desires to prepare a feast for folks. Sometimes we're not humble enough to even come to it. You know why it says there in our prayers we're to ask for our daily bread? Keeps us humble. Problem is with us, we have a refrigerator, freezer side by side, and a freezer outdoor. Don't need to ask for the daily bread. Hey, listen, it's okay to have a refrigerator and freezer outside. But we ought to remain humble enough to say, Lord, thank you for the food that you're providing today. Love's not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It's courteous. Very courteous. Courteous. Young ladies, if a young man loves you in the right way, he will not behave himself unseemly. He will not always be trying to sneak a tug or a hug or a touch where he should not be. He won't behave himself unseemly. He'll keep his eyes focused above and not below. So therefore, ladies, young ladies, what we have a responsibility to do as a young lady is to make sure that that which is below is modest. So he has no excuse whatsoever. We don't need to listen. You don't need to help out men at all, if I can say it like that. Unseemly. What else does it say? Let's read on. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. What is that? Love, godly love, is very unselfish. Very unselfish. Very unselfish. Love is not easily provoked. It's good nature. Good nature. Thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. You know what our whole society is doing? Trying to help us to constantly think on that which is evil. That which is bad. That which is wicked. You can think back into your mind and to your media intake of the last month. And how many movies that have been put out by Hollywood have been charitable? It's just out there. Listen, I thought y'all would love this tonight. We're talking about love. This is one of the greatest chapters there is. Amen. I mean, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation, is great. But this one is great. I mean, it teaches us how to interact with one another. Let's read on. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Well, there's a lot of that going on, isn't there? Everybody calling that which is good evil. And that which is evil, they're calling good. Just People putting on Facebook what they did yesterday. That's just awful. You may have seen this. There was a family that went on vacation. They went on vacation. Some kids broke into their home, partied in their house, graffitied, and took all kinds of selfies while they were doing it, and posted it on Facebook. That's intelligent, isn't it? What is that? Rejoicing in iniquity. That's not the bad part, parents. Here's the bad part. The guy found the pictures on Facebook that owned the house. So he began to post them to see if anybody recognized them. The kids, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old teenagers. Well, guess what happened? Some folks recognized them. Emailed them. This one lives here, that one lives there, this one lives there. He took all the information to the jail, to the police, to the sheriff. The sheriff began to do their investigation. What investigation? They got it all. Self took pictures of me spray painting somebody's house. You know what the parents said of those kids? They're trying to sue the man. Because he posted their, reposted what they posted to find them. They said they put our kids at danger. You see, parents? Rejoicing, and you know why kids break into other people's house and paint on walls that don't belong to them? Because they got parents like that. That covers up for them. I've told my boys and I've told my girls, you go to jail and you'll sit there until the judge lets you out. I'm not posting bond. I'll come visit you. Come pray with you. I'll have your stuff packed. I'm not posting bond. You go commit a crime, you're going to stay there. But you got parents rejoicing in the iniquity. That's not true love. Listen, parents, sometimes we're going to have to be the tough guy and say, I'm your parent and you're just not doing that. I'm sorry. Amen. Well, when they get of age, they're going to run off and do what they want. When they get of age, they're going to do what they want anyway. Right. You know what our job is then? Pray. 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 And pray. Rejoiceth not in the iniquity. You know what that means, guys? When you see somebody being bullied at school, you don't laugh along with them. And you definitely don't bully. You know what that means? You don't be disrespectful to your teacher, your parent, to your mother, your father, to authority. Because when you're disrespectful to authority, guess what you're doing? Rejoicing in iniquity. Well, let's go on that one over really good. Teenager, love that one. Where are we at? But rejoiceth in the truth. Here's a tough one, folks. This one gets us. Beareth all things. Beareth all things. That's a tough one, isn't it? You know what love does? It covers a multitude of iniquity, but it never condones it. Never condones it. Where's those that accuse you? I don't know. I don't either, but don't sin no more. Beareth all things. Well, they done me wrong and I'm going to get back at them. Bear it all things.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. But we're talking about godly love. Godly love. Bear it all. Believe it all things. Sure sounds very confident. Why would you be able to believe all things? Because of it's the love of God. It's God's love. Loveth all things. What assurance. What assurance. Endureth all things. Church love covers a whole lot in those characteristics. When you get marks of characteristics, it does not come easy. It takes pressure. It takes pressure. Love covers a multitude of sin. You know what's amazing about this here chapter here? If you go and you will say, we're not going to do it tonight for the sake of time. We're almost done. But if you take 4, 5, 6, and 7, and you go compare it with Galatians chapter 5 with the fruits of the Spirit, and see how they line up. I know the fruits of the Spirit, begins with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so forth, so on. But look how they intermatch, and they're there. I mean, there's some verses to compare. We're talking about the love of God, and having the love of God, and we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, those are some good verses right there. So when we take these verses and begin to look at it, what's going to help us? Not just looking and reading and seeing them, but step by step, allowing God to put these in our life. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could all be more patient, more kind, more generous, more courteous? More unselfish, less selfish, good-natured, charitable, sincere, goodness without gossip. Lord, help, we need more of that, don't we? Gracious, confident, assurance, endurance, endurance. There's people falling out the race left and right. I mean, people... it's amazing to me now what troubles Christians anymore. I mean, just the least little thing. And they're not showing up. They're not in. They're out. Hangnails. Spiritual hangnails. He didn't shake my hand. She didn't shake my hand. They didn't sing my favorite song. I've been there now 2 services. The hymn book's pretty full. Listen, you know what's going to keep us staying and steadfast? Nothing but the love of God. Nothing but the love of God. Let's stand to our feet, church.